Just for Women. Listen to Mrs. Waite speak from her heart to your need. Pause a moment and care. Just for Women is an unusual broadcast for women in the midst of a crooked and perverse generation. Yvonne Waite deals biblically with the many issues facing women today. The Bible tells the older women to speak the things which become sound doctrine, and teach the young women to be sober, to love their husbands, to love their children, to be discreet, keepers at home, good, obedient to their own husbands, that the word of God be not blasphemed. Listen now to Mrs. Waite speaking Just for Women.
Hi, girls. How are you? This is Mrs. Waite again. I want to read a poem called El Shaddai. It was written by my mother when she was a young woman, 1937. It could very well be that she wrote this after she learned that my sister Beverly was born brain damaged. For years, I have looked for a place I could rest, to pillow my head on a comforting breast, and to lose all my cares, simply put them away, and breathe in the air of a burdenless day. I've longed so to hide from each problem I see, from each tug at my heart that this life's brought to me. How I wanted to flee and to lie down to sleep, and forget that I've ever had a duty to keep. But I found not a place nor a refuge to hide where I could unload all the grief that's inside. Till one day I read in the book so divine, and the Spirit put joy in this weak heart of mine. For he showed me a place where it is said I could rest, neath the wings of El Shaddai on the warmth of his breast. Isn't that beautiful? Just absolutely beautiful. Recently I have been looking at the minor prophets, and I've been very interested in them, to look at them a different way. Let's look together at Amos 8:11, not a famine of bread, but of hearing the words of the Lord. And I call this no sound of the words of God anywhere. How often we have heard a question, can two walk together except they be agreed? Or what about the sign we have seen often as we drive down a major highway? In big, bold letters it reads, prepare to meet thy God. Did you realize those two startling statements are from the book of Amos? Amos was a prophet. We sometimes call him a minor prophet. But oh, he's not minor. He is so named by theologians because of the size of his book. It and other minor prophets' writings are smaller than the books of Isaiah and Jeremiah and Ezekiel or Daniel. But his words are far more from being minor or inferior. It is interesting to notice that Amos did not attend a prophet school. He had no intention of being a prophet. One day when he was gathering figs and following his flocks, the Lord spoke to him. I think he must have been surprised, don't you? Probably he looked all around from where that voice was coming from, and he couldn't see it anymore. He didn't see anybody. I'm fairly sure this happened in his hometown of Tekoa. It was near Bethlehem, but the Lord spoke to him. Has the Lord ever spoken to you? He will use the Bible to speak to you. Maybe he'll use Amos' words today. Girls, three times in my life I've had people tell me that a voice told them to do something. We don't usually talk about it. Someone may think we're a bit off. On two of these incidents, a voice was heard by my family members. One night, my daughter-in-law was coming onto a very busy highway. Her black and white station wagon stalled. Usually, it restarted immediately, but this time she could not get the car moving. She didn't know what to do. Then a voice said, "Get out of the car." As soon as she stepped away from the car, without warning, another car came speeding down the road right before her eyes. That car crashed into her station wagon. She could have died. Another time, someone set the Christmas tree on fire in our son's first floor apartment. He tried, but he could not put out the fire. The sadistic friend escaped through the only door. Intentionally, the evil man locked that door as he escaped. Though the door handle was burning hot, our son turned it, and it would not open. Our son was trapped. A voice came to him. He said it was the voice of my father, his grandfather. the voice said, climb out the bathroom window. It was a very small window. Our son was a good-sized man, yet he squeezed his burning body through that window and fell to the ground. They ran across the street to a payphone. A man came by who gave them a ride to the hospital. I will always believe that man was an angel. He came out of nowhere and left into nowhere. Though David was severely burned, he escaped with his life. In the time of decision, hearing an audible voice is most unusual. Those who have severe mental illnesses hear voices all the time, and those voices plague them. They will not go away. They haunt the hearer who longs that the voices would leave. Usually God does not work with an audible voice. I really don't know what to make of it myself. Both of my illustrations saved the lives of two people. I hesitated to tell you about them, but it did happen. God speaks to Christians today. He uses his words, the scripture. I've never heard a voice. In truth, we cannot base a doctrine on teaching or a teaching on an experience. Nor can we base our salvation on an experience. I know a young man who wants an experience to prove that he was saved. God never dropped fire on his head or knocked him off a mule. Sadly, that man has turned from the Savior who bought him with the price at Calvary. The young man has gone back into the world full time. He says he is not born again. Someday, according to Amos 8:11, there will be a great dearth. It will not be for food or water. There will be a lack of the true words of God in the world. Amos said, behold, the day comes, saith the Lord God, that I will send a famine in the land. Not a famine of bread, nor of a thirst for water, but of hearing the words of God. How would you feel if you never heard the words of the living God? There may come a time that there won't be a Bible translated from the proper Greek and Hebrew text anywhere. Read today and appreciate it, because you may not have the words of God tomorrow. Dear Lord, we just thank you for Amos. We thank you that he was brave enough to tell us about the dearth in the land that would come from the lack of the words of God. Oh yes, there was hunger and there was thirst. But the greatest dearth is the lack of the true words of God. Come to you in Jesus' name. Amen. Speaking of the minor problems, theologians use a big word when they classify prophecy. That word is eschatology. It means the unfolding of future things. 16 books of the Old Testament are classified as prophetic. Of interest, from 1/4 to 1/5 of the whole Bible are predictions. With so many words dedicated to the future, we should not neglect them. My husband and I are premillennial, and premillennialism is the key. We read these words concerning the Christian future and the future of the world because of this. I have this account here of Jonah. I don't know if I have time to read it all, but I'm going to try. When I think about the man called Jonah, I think of a man who had a mind of his own. He was a minor prophet. It is good to have convictions. It is good to have a purpose. But it's not good to have a contrary will from the will of God. I don't really think of Jonah as a prophet, but he was one. So many contrary happenings are his that it is most difficult to picture him as having the call of God upon his life. Instead of our thinking of him as the servant of the Most High, we think of him as a disobedient person. Besides that, he was a complainer. Neither of these qualities go well with the word prophet, or Christian for that matter. So, when God said to Jonah, go to Nineveh, Jonah went to Tarshish. When he found himself in a boat in the middle of a storm, he went to sleep. When the crew awakened him, they begged, pray to your God. Instead of praying, he told his frightened friends, throw me overboard. That is exactly what he did and what they did. All Jonah's contrariness ceased the minute the fish opened its mouth. In went the rebellious man down the throat of that special fish. Now what was Jonah to do? To be truthful, there was nothing left for him to do but pray. And pray he did. It was then that Jonah had a private prayer meeting. He certainly had an unusual prayer closet. It was the belly of a specially prepared fish. Not only could that fish swallow a man, it had a stomach in which the man could live and breathe without drowning for a while. Jonah was in seaweed and sea, coughing and flailing his arms, all the while praying. It must have been a frightening experience, but Jonah knew exactly what was happening to him and why. That that fish took a dive to the bottom of the sea. Picture Jonah hanging onto a rib or two of the fish, praying and crying out to God, and dying at the same time. Sometimes we wonder how we would die. Where would we be? Will we be alone? Will we be in an airplane? Will we have a stroke? Will it be a disease? But we never dream we would die in the belly of a great fish. Neither did Jonah, never in his wildest dreams did he think that he would die in a fish. Though his body was still in the fish's belly, Jonah's soul was in the depth of hell and corruption. From there he prayed. Does that mean we will be praying after death? I do not know, but Jonah did. He cried out, "Salvation is of the Lord." Miracle of miracles, the Lord spoke to the fish. God was not done with Jonah yet. The fish obeyed. Sad to say, the fish was more obedient than its passenger. Out on the shore was Jonah's limp body. It flopped around like a rag doll. And in that wicked condition, the Lord repeated his order to the disobedient prophet. "Arise, go unto Nineveh." So Jonah arose and went unto Nineveh. It was a large city, full of people whom the Lord loved. There were 120,000 people who did not know their left hand from their right hand. Preachers say that they were children, and maybe they were. Sometimes I think that they were uneducated people of all ages that didn't know left from right. They were people who desperately needed holy help and forgiveness. I must say that Jonah gave his all to preaching and prophesying. By this time he had a message from God. He cried out, "In 40 days Nineveh shall be overthrown." Guess what? The king not only heard it, the king of Nineveh, he hated it. He repented. The people repented. God spared the city. Instead of rejoicing, Jonah was up to his old tricks of complaining. He thought the people would think he had lied when he said the city would be destroyed. There was not a rejoicing bone in his body. He was so upset and depressed that he sat in a booth outside the city and sulked. He wanted to die. The sun was hot. He complained, of course. Graciously, God made a vine to grow for his protection. A worm ate the gourd. Jonah was angry. He cared more for himself and the gourd than the salvation of Nineveh's people. Poor, poor Jonah. Dear Jonah. I don't know what to make of him, do you? I really don't know. The will of God is different for each person, but it's the will of God if you know Christ as your Savior. If you're not born again, His will, He's not willing that any would perish. My stubborn will, I think of Jonah. Oh, I can't tell you this, but it's about the sweet will of God. Hold me closer, sweet will of God, fold me closer, till I'm wholly lost in Thee. I'm under God's care, are you?
You have been listening to Just for Women with Yvonne Waite, sponsored by the Bible for Today Baptist Church in Collingswood, New Jersey. We invite you to visit our church Sundays at 10 a.m. and Thursdays at 8 p.m. If you need more information about our church, our broadcast, or our Savior, please call us toll-free 1-800-JOHN-10-9. Email bft@biblefortoday.org. The organist and pianist is Mr. Dick Carroll. Your announcer has been Dr. D.A. Waite, pastor of the Bible for Today Baptist Church. We invite all you ladies to join us next week, same time, same station, to hear Yvonne Waite and Just for Women.